Amen.
That's great. Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15. If you'd like to have your bulletin open to the inner fold, there's some verses in there that we'll be using also today. We need hope. Circumstances of life drag us down. We want to find God's hope today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, we pray that we might not only have an understanding about where hope is found, but Lord, that we might be able to experience, to have your hope in our daily lives for all the ups and downs, the valleys and the heights. And Lord Jesus, we know that you care about us so much. We love you, and we pray that you'd reveal your word to us this morning. In his name we pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Finding Hope in a Hopeless World. James Lee, a young father, phoned the city newspaper to tell his story. The reporter frantically tried to locate James, but he was too late. By the time the police had arrived, James had taken a gun and pulled the trigger. In his coat pocket, the police found a tattered crayon. In childish print, his daughter Shirley had written her name at the bottom. That daughter Shirley, who had been incinerated in a fire 5 months before. On the drawing, Lee had written, "Please leave in my coat pocket. I want it buried with me." At the time of Shirley's funeral, Lee was so grief-stricken, he was asking total strangers to come to the funeral because when the child was just two, her mother had passed away and there were no other relatives to attend the funeral. Immediately before his death, Lee told the reporter that he had nothing left to live for and he felt totally alone in the world. James Lee lost all hope and he ended his life alone. Tragically, his story is not an isolated case. Our world is filled with people who are overcome with despair and hopelessness. Hope, like love, is an indispensable quality of life. The question constantly raised is there hope? Where can I find hope? Contemporary society with its slick promotion has promised us hope in a variety of packages, but when the package is finally open, when the chips are down and we really need it, we find the package is empty. We've been sold a lie. For instance, the hope of the heart is not found in science and technology, although science would like to tell us so. With all our highly sophisticated technology, we've discovered how to put man on the moon, how to send spacecraft beyond Saturn, how to communicate instantly across the world, computers that are able to solve problems in seconds. And mercifully, we've made remarkable advances in medical science, but we still haven't learned the art of getting along with each other, nor have we learned how to meet the needs of the human heart. Hope is not found in wealth or material possessions either, even though in our society we worship the god of materialism. We measure success in terms of dollars and cents. We ignore the most important things in life, the emotional and spiritual needs that we have. We're paying an extremely high price as a result. People are dying of loneliness and destroying themselves like Lee, alone. Broken homes and divorce are shattering our families. Rape, child abuse, children having children, and distorted sexuality cause unending pain. Suicide and drug abuse have become common tragedies. Hope is not found in a perfect body either. Another obsession that we cling to is physical attractiveness. The fact is that good looks have nothing to do with peace of mind. Attractive people can be very unhappy people. Neither is hope found in what we call success. By the time he was 33 years of age, Bill O'Donnell had already scaled the heights of what our culture calls success. He was vice president of a big company. He had an annual salary of $150,000, owned a couple of Mercedes and a big home. But he was also cheating on his wife, missing meetings that he had called, and using 4 grams of cocaine a day. He said, "I was running through life so fast I didn't see my role as a husband and father was disintegrating and that my business abilities were crumbling." It's not just Bill. Not just what Bill was infected with. We are all infected with the same problem in our society. When we live for materialistic goals, physical goals, our priorities are inverted. And we could say perverted. And while we can be grateful for the many of the achievements that have alleviated so much of physical suffering, we still have missed the most important issues in our lives. We have pampered the physical and starved the spiritual, and thus pushing our societies closer and closer to moral and spiritual bankruptcy. The fact is, we have forgotten God. We give lip service to Him, and most of us say we believe in Him, but in our manner of life we have ignored Him. Despair, drugs, deadly diseases, depression, crime, murder, loneliness, wars, terrorism, greed, loss of hope, all of which are part of our evening news, are symptoms of a sin-sick society. Men are sinners. We gloss over sin and call it anything but what it is. Regardless of what we call it, anything that falls short of the perfection that God envisioned for us is sin. And all sin is ultimately self-destructive. That's why God is opposed to it. It destroys that which God loves most, us. It is the most deadly sickness the world has ever seen. Its end result is physical, spiritual, and eternal death. We are all afflicted, infected, because we have all sinned. Until we call sin what it is and treat it and deal with it accordingly, there is no hope. As is, there is little hope in our world, yet we need to find hope. True, we'll find no hope in this broken world. If at all we are to find hope, we're going to find that hope is not of this world. It is the claim of this book, the Bible, that it is from God. And if this book is truly from God, then it ought to speak about hope, and it ought to be able to help us with hope, and indeed it does. There are more than 140 references in the scripture on the subject of hope. It is a huge biblical subject, and today we're just going to examine a small part of it, because we're going to focus down on just one verse. Romans 15 and verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In that verse, I see three aspects of the subject of hope that is going to be a great help to us today, a help to, I trust, lift us up. The first aspect of the subject of hope that will really help us is the three sources of hope. The three sources of hope. In chapter 15 of Romans, Paul is talking about how Christians should relate to each other. So we're just going to put this subject of hope in context. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, for example, says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." So in other words, in very brief summary, we are to encourage each other. Rather than discourage each other. And then again in verse 7 it says, "Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Another way we're to relate to each other, first way is to encourage each other, another way is to receive each other, and the example given in that verse is Christ. It says, "Just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Jesus Christ has received us despite what we are, then surely we can receive each other, our warts and all. Having mentioned the Lord, Paul now makes a diversion in Romans chapter 15 to move away, talking about relating to each other, to talk about the Lord himself. Messiah had been promised throughout the Old Testament, and in fulfillment of that prophecy, Jesus had already come and gone by the time of Paul's writing. So, quoting Old Testament prophecies regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes, and we read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 10. And again, he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, O you Gentiles. Lord him, O you peoples." Lord means to honor. Honor the Lord. Then verse 12, and again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse." Now Jesse was the father of King David, and this verse is saying that the Messiah would be of the family line, of the family tree of Jesse and David, as indeed Jesus was. It goes on to say, And he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles." Jesus Christ does not yet reign over the Gentiles in his fullness. That prophecy is yet to be fulfilled, and soon. And then verse 12 ends, "In him the Gentiles shall hope." In the Messiah shall the Gentiles hope. Hope will be found in Jesus Christ. Now this is our first clue as we're moving through this chapter, where to find hope. Hope will not be found in this world. Hope won't be found in the things of the world. Hope are going to be found in things that are not of this world. And hope is found first in Jesus Christ, as we've been singing about today, and as Shalon has testified. So Paul is thinking of hope in Christ when he writes our key verse today, verse 13. He's got hope in his mind and he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Jesus is the Messiah of hope because he was sent by the God of hope. First, our hope is found in the Lord, verse 12. Secondly, our hope is to be found in the Father, verse 13. Now, I want you to notice that verse 13 is a verbalized prayer. It starts out, "Now may." And when we use that word "may," it indicates a request. May you pass your exams. May God give you good health. May God give you safety in your travel. And so the word "may" indicates a request. It is a prayer, but it is a verbalized prayer. Paul, instead of saying, I am going to pray for you Romans, he actually verbalizes the prayer with his eyes open and in as part of the conversation with the Roman Christians. We could call this kind of verbalized prayer a blessing. And how much better it is for Paul to say in verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," rather than to say, "I'm going to pray for you," and then forget to pray. This is something that we might remember. We can pray for people on the spot through a blessing. Anyway, Paul's prayer is that they would find hope in the Son, the Messiah of hope, and in the Father, the God of hope. Hope is not found in the things of this world. Hope is found in things not of this world. But how do we experience this hope? Let's say I told you where you could find gold. Now, I do know a place where you can find gold, and I myself have found gold there. But if I sent you to that place, I suspect you would come back without finding gold. Why? Because we need more information than where the gold is found. The particular place that I'm thinking of, Golden Gully, you need to know how to be able to pan for gold, and you know where in the creek you ought to be looking for the gold. Similarly, just knowing the source of hope is the Father and the Son is not enough. We must know also how to be able to connect to the Father and to the Son to be able to experience their hope. Listen to verse 13 again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We connect to the Father and the Son by believing. And once the channel of faith is established, a channel of faith between us and the Father and Son, then there is the possibility of hope to be able to flow into our lives. This believing is not faith in faith, just any belief. This believing is in Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. Why? Because it is Jesus Christ of all men who died and rose again from the dead. As Peter explains in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope," how? "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It is through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ we have this living hope. It is Christ, his death, his resurrection, that is the focus of faith. It's that faith that opens up the channel for living hope to flow. Without the faith, there is no flow of that hope. Now, when I talk about faith in Christ, his death, his resurrection, I'm not just talking about believing that it happened. Listen to this startling verse, James chapter 2 and verse 19. "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Wow. The demons know there is a God, but they aren't going to be saved. That knowledge that there is a God hasn't changed them. And similarly, there are many people who accept that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that he died in their place on the cross, that he rose again. They believe, yes, they intellectually believe, but they believe the same way as the demons believe. They accept the truth, but they are not committed to the truth. They are not changed by the truth, and they won't be saved. Consider bungee jumping. Now, we all know that bungee jumping is dangerous. We heard of someone that was hurt recently through that. We also might want to ask the question, do you believe that you can come back alive from bungee jumping? And I'd say, yes, I believe that. I've seen people bungee jump many times on TV. Yes, I believe they can come back alive. But then if you ask me, are you going to bungee jump? I'm going to say, well, no. That's not something I'm going to do. Although I believe that it's possible to come back alive from bungee jumping, I'm not prepared to commit myself to an ankle strap that can come undone. I believe, but it's an uncommitted belief. I'm not prepared to go through with it and do it myself. My belief doesn't lead me to jump. Similarly, a person can say, I believe in Jesus. But if it's not the kind of belief that is life-changing, if it's not the kind of belief that commits the whole life to Jesus Christ, if it's not the kind of belief that puts on the ankle strap, as it were, it's not the belief that saves. Demons believe and are not saved from the fires of hell. That ought to be very sobering for us. People can believe and not be saved from the fires of hell. Saving faith, the faith that does save, changes lives. The person who has made a committed belief to Jesus Christ turns from his sin and now gives his whole life to Christ. He now totally wants to live for Christ, entirely pleasing to the Savior. He makes the jump. He puts on the ankle strap. He's committed to his faith. When a man or woman, boy or girl, believes with committed faith, at that moment the Holy Spirit of God comes into that person's life and they are born of the Spirit. Now, in that case, faith has opened a channel of relationship between the Father and the Son, and hope, living hope, is now able to flow through. Let me talk about hope for a bit. Now, we think about a hope as an expectation of something good. I hope to win the soccer match. We don't know whether we will, we don't know whether we won't, but we hope that we will. But the way that hope is used in the New Testament, in the Scripture, it is used of a certainty of something good. Not just a desire for something good, but a certainty of something good. Earthly hopes can be dashed. but not spiritual hope. A spiritual hope is certain. Thus we could read verse 13. You follow verse 13 and I'll paraphrase. We could read it this way. Now may the God of certainty fill you with all joy and peace through that saving faith, that you may overflow in certainty. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus the Holy Spirit is seen in this verse to be the third source of hope. Our hope is found in the Father. Our hope is found in the Son. And our hope is found in the Holy Spirit in believing, the verse says. Believing the truth that is in this book. For we know of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the teaching of this book. Paul says it quite clearly in verse 4, chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So hope is found in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we know about them through the teaching of the Word of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God always work together, almost like Siamese twins. It's repeated in the Scriptures over and over, and so we will emphasize it over and over. Another verse that emphasizes the work of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together in a believer's life to give hope is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. That verse says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth." First comes the Bible, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God took the Word of God and applied it to the heart of the child of God. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. That is what hope is. It is a guarantee of our future that comes through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working together. We can be absolutely certain of this book, and therefore we can have hope. David Warfield had a sex change operation. As a young man, he was into motorcycles, mountain bike climbing, kayaking, and other extreme sports, but those extreme sports didn't bring any lasting satisfaction. So he buried himself in his career and the pursuit of success in his career. And yes, his state recognized him as an outstanding teacher. But that didn't satisfy either. He said, it just wasn't enough. He tried cross-dressing and he had counseling. He concluded that he was born the wrong gender. His wife of 7 years, his third wife, in consequence began to pursue divorce. Now let's think about David Warfield's situation. At one time he thought his life was boring, and so he pursued extreme sports, but that only brought temporary relief from his problem, a temporary high. Later he thought his problem was that he was single, and so he got married. But when that didn't work out, he assumed that he'd married the wrong person. And he had a second and a third marriage, and he tried to find happiness in a successful career. And when that failed, he began to lose hope, coming to the conclusion he was born the wrong gender. But that conclusion is just as faulty as all the previous conclusions. A man or a woman will not find lasting hope in a hopeless world. Hope comes from outside of this world. Do you feel there is no hope? No use going on? Can I say this morning, I care about that? May I share with you, there was a time in my life when I had lost so much hope. I thought about suicide. And I went beyond that and I planned suicide. If you have lost hope, I want to help. Today, my hope is in the Lord. Your hope today needs to be in the Lord. Not in adrenaline rushes of extreme sports. Not in marriage. Not even in family. Not in work. Not in things. Not in any abilities that you may have, not in anything of this world at all. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is not in the things of earth, but my hope is anchored into heaven, The book of Hebrews uses the picture of the veil in the temple to represent the very presence of God. And Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, as an anchor holds a ship. Our hope holds us in this life," it says, "which enters the presence of God behind the veil, where the forerunner, the Lord Jesus, has entered for us, even Jesus." Where is your hope? Won't you choose to put your hope in Jesus Christ? You can know him, and knowing him, you can be infused through faith with his hope. Believe in him in such a way that you commit your whole life to him, turning from any sin that is in your life and turning entirely to him, turning from the world, the sin, and the devil, and turning to Christ. That's the beginning. That opens the channel between you and God that enables hope to flow. The second aspect of the subject of hope that is life-changing is two results of hope. Two results of hope. Verse 13, Romans 15 and verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Believe in him, find hope, and you will be filled with God's peace and joy. Joy and peace are the two results of faith through hope. Or the two results of hope, rather, through that channel of faith. The person without hope despairs. The person with hope has joy and peace and every other good fruit. And there are many other results of hope in a Christian's life. But the two results of hope mentioned in this verse are joy and peace. They are indeed indicators of the presence of hope in a Christian's life. On the dashboard of your life, there is a light indicating peace. And on the dashboard of your life, there is a light indicating joy. When both lights are on, we have ignition. Hope is there. There is a real committed faith allowing that hope to flow from God. When the joy and peace lights are off, something is disconnected. Maybe trust is failing, and so hope is diminishing. Maybe the relationship with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has not been maintained through his word. That peace and joy are dimming. So let me say plainly, if you would experience the joy and peace of hope, not only do you need to be born of God, Christian, you need to be maintaining your relationship with God. You need ongoing faith for the hope to flow. The channel needs to be opened through salvation, and then it needs to be maintained so the channel does not become blocked by sin. Trust, obedience, and love for God maintains the hope conduit to ensure that joy and peace flow from God into our lives. Hope is not found in this world. Hope is found in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'd just like to read to you again the words of the hymn we first sang this morning. I've changed a few of them just to emphasize some truth here and keep it fresh. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust what looks the same, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness, that is the darkness through the circumstances of life, seem to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within that veil. My hope is anchored there in heaven, sure and steadfast. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His word, his promises, his blood support me in the raging flood. When all around my soul gives way, there's nothing left to live for. He then is my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Christian, make sure you stay connected to the source through faith to have that peace and joy. Such a man or woman has hope. The third aspect of the subject of hope that lifts us up is the one final outcome of hope. The one final outcome of hope. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The one final outcome of hope is a spiral upward of hope. There is an abounding hope to the glory of God. Once the faith channel is open and hope flows from God to His child, we begin to experience His joy and peace. And there is improved relationship. There is a good relationship with the Father and with the Son. And as we enjoy this peace and joy, hope escalates so that we move from hope to abounding hope. And we move from abounding hope to more abounding hope. In the world, things go wrong, and those things that go wrong tend to accumulate. And that's why people have midlife crises. They realize that life is too short to be able to enjoy all the things they'd hoped to, and their hopes have been dashed, and there is a spiral downward toward hopelessness. In God, in His Holy Spirit, the verse says, the process is reversed. There is a spiral upwards unto abounding hope. Circumstances can still be bad, but hope is anchored in God and abounds. And that means full peace and joy for the Christian who has hope. If hope isn't enough carrot, if joy and peace isn't enough motivation, then surely abounding hope must be enough carrot for you to turn your back on everything that is in the world and to trust Christ as your Savior from sin, and then make sure that channel of faith to Christ is maintained throughout your Christian life. Hope-filled, peaceful, joyous Christians are radically changed people. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 adds, Beloved, now we are the children of God, which ought to fill us with hope, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. What a great hope! Certainly Jesus is coming back for us. We're going to be made like unto Him. That guarantee is a blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Relationship with Christ brings hope, and hope is life-changing. If we could get Frank Lee into a counseling office, if we could have got him into a counseling office before he committed suicide, he would have said there was no one in the world for him and that life was not worth living. It was hopeless. If we could get David Warfield into a counseling office, he would say life is empty and even the sex change operation did not bring what he hoped for. Life wasn't worth living. Hopeless. And in a sense, we could agree with both these men. Life isn't worth living the way they had been living it. Life without Christ is not really worth living. But suicide is not the answer. Turning to Christ is the answer. In the Lord Jesus, there is hope. Let's pray. Lord, we would pray for those that are hurting today, and we pray that you would draw close to them. We pray that spiritually, Lord, you would put your arm around about them. We pray that you would draw them to your side, and believing, they would see the hope that is in you. O Lord, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would change lives this morning. Maybe Christians have got their eyes off you. Oh, I pray, Father, that their eyes would be back onto you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and seeing you, they would be filled with hope. And we pray for any who don't know you, Lord. Oh, we pray that by faith, that channel of hope might be opened, and that you might fill their lives with hope. We pray for your name's sake. Amen.